Today we're going to be continuing a conversation that we started from the beginning of a particular year. And it sort of gets me knowing that we are being ushered into something as a ministry and as a church. And so how I get this done is to teach on it. So whenever I teach on it, it's going to help us to understand why we do the things that we do, and how we can get better at the things that we do. So it's a play from a conversation that we had started, but we didn't finish. And sometimes there are conversations like that. You started as a pastor, and then you get to a point, and then, you know, the Lord literally inspires you to halt or pause on it. And then he later on comes back again to tell you it's time to continue that conversation. So this morning is one of those times where we play on with the conversation that we had started in a particular year. And we're going to get into the teaching by first off, receiving certain instructions. Cautious in its nature. So there's going to be like a caution via this particular kind of teaching. There's going to be a caution before we now get into the real teaching. Right? It's almost like you're going to senior high school, and then your mom starts by giving you cautions before the real explanation of the advice. You know, there's an explanation of an advice, and then there's a caution before the real substance. You know, I generally don't like to say this, but, and I don't like to hear it as well, when they say fear women before they actually start to explain why. I really don't like it, because I think all my life I've been helped very much significantly by women. So I don't know why I should fear them. So fear women is not something I do. I don't think I do so. So fear men. All right. So that's just by the way, actually. So anyway, so we are getting into certain instructions. We'll have to examine a few instructions in the epistles on activities, actions, or responsibilities, or end responsibilities of the believer, which pertains the Holy Ghost. And I don't know if we're going to exhaust that today, but the caution is going to be very clear today. Then probably from next week, we get into the real teaching, so that it teaches you to appreciate what you are about to be taught. So it's like, this gift I've given to you, keep it well before the actual gift is now given. You know, sometimes when we have So, okay, take your seats. Don't disrupt the meeting. I'm very determined to teach, but today I'm very determined. I promise you, if you like, if you calm down, we'll still teach. Then we'll flow in the Holy Ghost, right? Right. So we're about to teach, right? So, it helps us get better, right? helps us get better. So we're going to look at a few cautions. Apostolic in its nature. You know, when somebody gives you a gift and they tell you that this gift, do you know how much it is? They don't tell you the price. They just say, this gift, do you know how much it is? Then you now say, oh, I've been even stepping on it. Then it causes you to now go back and look at the gift again. So that's what I'm going to be doing this morning as a pastor. So we're going to be looking at activities, actions, or responsibilities of the believer, which pertains the Holy Ghost. And we're going to be exhausting certain cautions that Paul gives the church as pertaining the Holy Ghost. Now, we're going to get into the teaching, like I said, probably next week, but we're looking at neglect not the Holy Ghost 2. So it's a continuation from the beginning of the year, right? So we're looking at neglect not the Holy Ghost 2. All right, just speak in tongue. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Right, in Jesus' name, amen. So there's just certain times where you don't know how to hold it in. And it happens. Let me just flow in the direction of a teaching. Because there are times where, you know, when you touch a 2-volt electrical source, it's quite different when you touch 100 volts. And so sometimes when it comes on you, it takes quite some control to be able to handle. Right? So we understand that very well. Back to our teaching. So 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18, Paul is giving out certain apostolic instructions. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18. And 19. Well, let's start reading from verse 16 and then we'll read to 17 and then we'll read verse 18 and then we'll go on to read 19. So Paul is saying that in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, he's saying rejoice forevermore. Verse 17, he now says, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Then in verse 19, he gives out an instruction which we're going to be paying attention to. He says, quench not the spirit. Quench not the spirit. Quench not the spirit. Now, the word quench is quite a word I want us to look at carefully. And, of course, quench will mean to extinguish. It's to put out the effect of anything. So, this is Paul giving an instruction to the church in Thessalonica, and he says, quench. the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. He's literally saying, do not extinguish, put out the Spirit. You know, there are certain times where, as an individual, you quench the activity of the Spirit. Whether it's known or unknown. This is the way you just quench. You extinguish. How many of us have seen a fire extinguisher? And you know how it works very well. Okay. Or you don't know how it works, but all you know is you should pick it. And fire profusely. Till the fire is out, right? So, that thing is called an extinguisher. Like we all know. So, when Paul says, put out, he says, do not extinguish, quench the Spirit. And of course, when he calls the Spirit, he's calling everything that pertains to the Holy Ghost and his activities. Right? So, he gives an instruction to the church in Thessalonica. All right. In Ephesians 6:16. Okay, can you be calm? Can you be calm? Can you tell her to be calm? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 is how the word quench is used. So when you quench, you put out something. Now, I've experienced this for quite a while, right? We are trying to quench. The teaching is already prophetic. So there's an activity of stopping, you know, hold your movements in the area you're going to put out. So the Holy Ghost sort of like is doing something. It could be in your life as an individual, or it could be as a group. But then Paul is saying that, make sure that that activity of that which he's doing is not extinguished, or is not put out, or is not put off. Right? Look at how the word quenched is used. He uses it the same way in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 16. Of course, normally used in light, in anger, because anger is boiling. You literally see it boiling and raging. Say, quench your anger. It means put your anger off. Don't get angry. You know? So, see how he uses it in Ephesians 6 verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So you put out the effect of things that are thrown at you, as darts, he calls them in Ephesians 6:16. So he uses that in relation to the Holy Ghost. He says, do not quench. Don't stop. Don't put out the effect of the Holy Spirit. The activities that pertain to the Holy Ghost. Make sure it's not extinguished in your life. Now, a lot of times we like to say, you know, Paul says, rejoice forevermore. So we're probably saying, okay, rejoice is quite makes a lot of sense to say we should rejoice. Now, give thanks is something that we also know to do. But then he says, the Holy Ghost. And remember, he's writing to the church in Thessalonica. It means the letter is going to be eventually read to the people to their hearing. So there must have been a move of the Holy Spirit in Thessalonica that he wants them to not put off or to not extinguish. So Christ family, we must be smart. We must know how to go in the direction that God is moving. It's seen evidently in the services. So I'm going to be teaching a very key apostolic instruction this morning on how we should not neglect. And I'm going to get into it. Because sometimes you can be in the meeting and somebody neglects the moving of the Holy Ghost by an action, by an attitude, by maybe just by just being laid back about the whole flow of what he's doing in the meeting. But Paul is giving us an instruction. He says, neglect not the Holy Ghost. Quench it not. Don't put it out. Don't put it off. So it's going to be used in relation to light. You say, quench the light. Shall it quench them? You see? It means put it off. We don't want its effect in this place. So there's just a way where we quench. We quench. We quench. We're going to see further how these apostolic instructions are used. So, quenching the spirit. Quenching the spirit. Don't forget quenching the spirit. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 21. I'm going to show you a couple of quenches. There's a quenches. It's only in Christ's family, actually. A couple of quenches. Here we use words that feel and sound nice to ourselves. And it becomes words in our dictionary. Unknown to the Queen of England. So, in 2 Samuel chapter 21, verses number 7, but Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. So, in this case, you see that the men are swearing unto themselves that they will not allow David at certain spaces or places of the battle any longer. Because they probably suspected that if we allow this guy to continually fight, he's going to be killed. So, David, we don't want you before any battlefront, lest you quench that which is light unto us. I think that's some good following. Don't go too far. Just be there. So you can even see that to quench in the context for which I teach you this morning will mean to take life out. Because normally, when you put off the light, you take the life of the light out. And of course, what overwhelms the space of the place becomes darkness. So, there's a way we just quench. We quench. We let it go out. I'm going to be using that very practically. It's also used for love. Songs of Solomon, chapter 8. Songs of Solomon. Songs of Solomon. Where we quench, we extinguish, we put out the effect. Sometimes in our individual lives, sometimes as a ministry. How many of us have had times where we're weak at certain ungodly hours. And we know this being, this state of being awake is a call unto prayer. But then, what happens again? You snooze. Not your alarm, the Holy Ghost. Because your alarm didn't wake you up. But you snooze. You put off the effect of what he's telling you to do. Look at Songs of Solomon, chapter number 8. This guy, we put it off. Look how he uses it. So it's used for light, it's used for fire. So these are activities, right? Activities. 8 verse 7. He now says, solo, pasolo. Verse 7, he says, many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. That's why when we advise you, you don't listen. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. Revi. So is saying that love can be quenched. It can actually be quenched, actually. But I'm just showing you how that is used, like quenched. But he is now telling us, because that's the wisdom of Solomon. It says many waters cannot put it out. You know what waters are? These are raging seas that come. He says that love cannot be quenched. Neither can the floods drown it. Actually, it can be quenched because, but in the context of what he is communicating, he says that kind of a love, he's talking about true love, right? True love. True love cannot be quenched. But love in itself, whether not true or partially true, can be quenched. How many of us have, you said you loved somebody, but they gave you certain skills? You see, you are quenching. You know, and quenching, it doesn't happen suddenly. That's why he says many, because one really will not affect it. So there are instances. Maybe the person insults, treats you wrongly. I don't know, but there are many circumstances. I was sharing something with somebody yesterday. I went to minister to her. And when I started giving the scenario, you could tell from her face that she was not happy at all. I said that Jesus so much loves you. She said, yeah, it's true, I believe it. And I started explaining to her from the creation story why God has several other options. Then he puts one so you can walk out of the love he has for you. So while I was still saying that, I said that, what if it was your birthday and then you had a boyfriend or friend or husband? And fiancé, let me make it more intense. Then you say, you don't have to say, or you say, my birthday is tomorrow. You say, oh yeah, it's your birthday tomorrow. I said, my birthday is tomorrow. I said, okay, what do you want? I said, I just want one rose, red rose. And then, you know, he says, don't forget. You tell him, don't forget. No, I won't forget. I won't forget. I've dealt with one practical last few months. Don't forget. Then he now, you know, the day now comes finally. 6 a.m., nothing. 12 p.m., nothing. 3 a.m., nothing. 6 p.m., nothing. then at that time your heart will be beating, boiling. 8 p.m. nothing. 10 p.m. nothing. 12 a.m. nothing. 12:15 nothing. Then you now call him and say, hello, how are you doing? Then he asks you, oh, how are you? How was your day? How are you? Let me share you with someone's practical story. The person sends me a message and finds out if she can call. She sends me a message and she said that, can I just have a few minutes of your time? I said, why not? She said, I want to know your wisdom behind this. I have somebody I'm going out with. You will like stories. Songs of Solomon chapter 8. Do you want to hear the story? I will not tell you. Okay, sit down. Let me tell you. Sit down. Let me tell you. So she sends me a message and she was like, it's happened for 2 or 3 times where it's her birthday. The 2 things I tell you, they are true. Sometimes I just don't tell you that they are practical situations. I put them in story form. Yeah. So she tells me that my boy, fiancé, you know, my birthday was just today because yesterday. She was boiling from the day. she told me that he has told me he has a complication. I said, what kind of complication is that? Myself, I was boiling to hear what it was. So she told me he easily forgets. I said, okay, that's okay. That's okay. So what happens? She said, he forgets my birthday. No, not only my birthday, like he forgets, but my birthday, he just forgot, like yesterday. He just forgot my birthday. So I said, okay. Me myself, I was shocked. Because how can you forget somebody's birthday? So she now asked me that, what do I do? Because he's not done it for the first time. He's not done it for the second time. Probably this is the third time he's doing that. So what should I do? I was going to say something. I said, no. Let me keep quiet. No. I can't say it to... I can't say it to somebody that I don't pastor. So I have to be careful. So, you know, many of the times when I'm careful, I just don't leap into giving answers. I'm just calm about it. Like 24 hours, you can say, because I'm not the one to tell you what to do. You want to put me in trouble. If I say you should go and do something and something happened, you say, I said you should do it. So 24 hours passed by. Then I sent her a message again. I said, hello, how are you doing? Then I was asking her, because I wanted to know. Normally, I want to know which part you are leaning towards. Then if it's right, I counsel you more to lean in that direction. But if it's not, I'll tell you that, oh, I don't think where you're leaning towards is going to help. So lean on the other end, right? So when you see me counsel you in the direction you are going, it means I actually agree with what you are doing. So she now said that she spoke to a counselor. And the counselor said that, no. She said, did she speak to a counselor or she spoke to the guy's pastor or spiritual father? I don't know. But it's one of them. And the spiritual father said that she should forgive and let go. Because, you see, it's part of life. So I said, okay, that's... You should forgive. Yeah, I told her. I said that, okay, it's okay. We can let go. We can let go. Yes, but in myself, why do you quench? We are still on quench. I'm doing this so you can understand what I'm saying. We are still on quench. Why do you do that? No matter how forgetful you are. I mean, let's be serious. Huh? So the guys, if a sister comes to me, you will know my answer already. I'll just advise you. Once is okay. Even 2 times is highly unpardonable. 3 times, it requires a law case. Yeah. You see, sometimes people are afraid to tell people the truth. So I asked, do you love him? I love him so much. I said, okay, you listen to your pastor. So the guy literally, what he does not know is that he is quenching. You are quenching. Anytime you have the opportunity to do something right, that you don't do right, what happens is that you extinguish. And it's on both sides. You extinguish, you quench. So Solomon is saying that true love, many waters cannot quench it. Neither can the floods drown it. But then you can tell that it's used in the context of love. It means love can be quenched. Because agape love cannot be quenched. The love of God cannot be quenched. But, you know, love can be quenched. I had practical situations. The lady does everything for the man. Real life, does everything for the man. Pays the rent. Pays car bills. Buys fuel. Takes care of him. Somebody say, oh Lord. This is my story. Just what pastor is saying. You know, does everything. Yeah, she was outside. The guy was here. Does everything. Like the guy doesn't even go to work. So she now calls me. She now tells me, I have a situation. I don't know whether people actually, like, you don't think when it's love, right? They don't think. They just do everything. And it's because it's real. You see? But the Holy Ghost, you think. You say that, no, I'm very, let me not push it so much. So she does everything. She now calls me, look at the situation. I buy, she even used the, even boxes I send money for. Yeah, everything. The guy still messes up on top. Caught quite a number of times cheating on her. But then, she's still involved. What a love. Jesus kind of love. So, you see that when you do not do certain things, no, but eventually, unknown to the guy, she's now seeking solution. Whether what she's doing, there's sense in it. It means she's getting to the realization that there's something that needs to be quenched. Yeah, she's now finding out what, like, am I okay? She's asking me if she's okay. I said, you are fine. Why not? You are very fine. Because that's what love will do. I'm not even lying to you. But normally, I advise people that you cannot just only follow whatever. You have to use your mind in correlation with what you say you feel. Huh? Don't just be going like this. You are just going. You don't use your mind. Huh? Anyway, so she's now finding out whether it's okay. So I'm going to now counsel her, encourage her. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. Of course, there's nothing wrong with it. But then, if you do all these things and he still does not put up the right attitude, you know, there's an attitude that shows I'm really grateful for what you are doing and I really appreciate you. Maybe he could be down at the moment and then he needs all of that. Right? So that's okay. It's not really a problem. But then, if you still have room to do things that are wrongly done, while all of these things are done for you, then there's a very serious problem. It's a very serious problem. So you see that gradually, it's being quenched. Of course, they were married, actually. And he's done that for years. So you can't disquench. You have to encourage quenching. No, sorry. You have to encourage the love because they are married. For better, for worse. There's no going anywhere. If he likes you, he's not going to any place. You are still with him. Those of you who are listening to me. So that's it. So you see that it can be quenched. The Spirit of God can be quenched is our emphasis. But you see that fire can be quenched. Light can be quenched. Love can be quenched. And all of these things, you know, are activities. They can be quenched. So Solomon is telling us that true love is going to get very difficult to quench, but then it can be quenched. Look at Isaiah 1. We're still on the Holy Ghost, neglecting not, quenching not. And you see, my teaching in this particular sessions are going to be quite relatable to relationships. It's very intentional. Because you see, there's a way that God paints relationships, whether with man and man, which is like your friend, or marital relationships, right? There's a way he paints it using, let's say, marriage and probably relationships that span off or lead to marriage. Because he is the husbandman, right? And then we are the bride. It means that naturally, everyone here is supposed to relate with him like a woman would relate to her husband. So whether you're male or female, which there isn't any of that in him, there is surely that reality of how you are supposed to relate with him. So there's a way you just neglect certain relationships. And many times that's how we treat him as well. So maybe, for example, the typical story I shared of the lady who, the guy who chooses to be some way, is because he does not know what is demanded of him in that relationship. So we all together are women before God. That's why when you say she talks too much, because not in relationship state, right? She talks too much, that means you don't know the Holy Spirit. People say he doesn't talk. Hey, I'm telling you, he talks. He can reveal secrets. Yeah, he will tell you something that somebody is doing that they didn't call you, and he will show it to you. So the moment you now say, oh, shut up, Holy Spirit, then that means you neglect him. And there's a way you say shut up without knowing you are literally saying shut up. You know, shut up is in words. But there are other actions that you portray that shows that you are telling him shut up. And by telling him shut up, you neglect him. So Solomon is saying that it can be quenched. Look at Isaiah. We can neglect. The first, let's not go to neglect. We're still at quench. It's the first apostolic instruction. Isaiah. Isaiah. So when the Holy Spirit says, tomorrow is my birthday, you say, yes. Tomorrow is my birthday. You say, yes. Tomorrow is my birthday. Don't forget to. You say, yes. But the birthday comes, I've forgotten your birthday. I couldn't remember it was your birthday. Tomorrow, go for evangelism. You say, yes. Go for this. You say, yes. The next day, I didn't go. Let's not get into it. We'll get into it. So, in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 31, and the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as a spark, and they shall burn together, and none shall quench them. Look at Jeremiah 4. Verse 4. Jeremiah 4. Verse 4. So we see how quench is being used, right? So those are the apostolic instructions we are receiving this morning. Quench not. Sometimes we can see the Holy Ghost moving in a place. Like, for example, he tells me, tell them to minister in utterances. And many times I just pick it from the song. So maybe you say, utterances, shouts of rejoicing. And I know what he wants to do. And sometimes I pay attention to the song minister, because the song minister is ministering to us what we have to do. So there's quite some emphasis on some instructions. And then you pick it up from there. That's him telling you, maybe you may not know, but as the pastor will know, he's telling you, get them flowing in utterances, tongues. Then I say, group yourselves into 5, 7. That's the moving of the Holy Ghost. Then I say, I give you time to speak in tongues. And I say, get into it immediately. Then you see that someone is saying, oh, can't we sit down quickly? That's quenching. You are stopping the effect of what he wants to do. You're extinguishing what he's doing in our midst and what he's also doing in your life as well. Because seeing and knowing is for you as well. Ministering in the things of the Spirit is for you as well. When something is about to happen, how do you get to know? It's through the Holy Ghost. So when we find ourselves quenching, you see, there's a way you put out, or you don't allow something burn to its, you know, complete state. Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 4. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doing. So you see, he says it's going to burn such that it cannot be quenched. Many of you are going to be used mightily by God. But it's going to start, sit down, it's going to start with you not stopping his activity in your life, in your personal life, and in corporate meetings as we gather. So let's go back to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Of course, verses 19, he now says, quench not the Holy Spirit. The church is admonished to not extinguish the activity of the Spirit in and through them. I received a word this morning from a dear man of God, and he was prophesying to me as to how that he sees that in our ministry, the power of God is becoming a normal thing. I didn't even speak to him about it, and I didn't talk to him about it. So imagine we come now here. Then everybody is supposed to be flowing or moving with the Holy Ghost. But there's some who are laid back. What is happening is that you are quenching the move of the Spirit. Instructions he gives to you that are not adhered to, you are quenching. And you know, the more you quench, the more the fire goes down. The more the light dims. The more the passion wanes. The more the ability to do what he wants you to do dies off, because there is a quenching of that. An extinguishing of that. So Paul is saying, quench not the Holy Ghost. Quench it not. The Holy Ghost. Look at the next verse. Look at what he says. Can we read it together as a church? Despise not prophesying. So, can we say that when you despise prophesying, you quench the Holy Ghost? Yes. Of course, the activities of the Holy Ghost are going to be seen in all that he's told them to do. Rejoice forevermore. Pray without ceasing. Giving thanks. He says, quench not the spirit. He says, despise not prophesying. All of these things are the activities of the spirit. Rejoicing is of the Holy Ghost. Praying is of the Holy Ghost. Prophesying is of the Holy Ghost. Giving thanks is of the Holy Ghost. So when we stop these activities in our personal lives, we quench the Holy Ghost. Say, I refuse to quench the Holy Ghost, the move of the Holy Ghost in my life. Say, I refuse to quench. You know, you see, when you quench the existence of something, sit down. When you quench the existence of something, it's not as passionate as it used to be. Do you see that? Yeah. It's not as strong as it should be. So, our first apostolic instruction, before we move into the teaching next week, I'm showing you how that these instructions are things you must put conscience on. You know, I believe that there was a time where the Holy Spirit was telling me, he gave me an instruction and he said, amplify your speaking in tongues. I said, but Lord, I spend time to speak in tongues. I spend time to pray. And he said, no. He now says, make sure it's in every activity of the day. So I'm like, okay. Yeah, you know, there are times where you speak in tongues, but you speak in tongues just a few minutes. Then there's a particular time for praying. Right? Then he now tells me, no, I want you speaking in tongues like all through and through. I'm like, wow. So how am I going to do that? He says, start practicing it. So I start. Everywhere I go, I speak in tongues. You just may not see. Of course, sometimes you may be doing something, so it may not be on your mind. But then that's an instruction. And I got to realize something. As I did that, it almost became as though there was not so much of a difference with my prayer time and the times where I pray in tongues on the go. So I'm like, okay, that means that I will have to make sure that I pray always. That was what I was doing while I was working. You see me? I pick a drug. Yes. Then I sell. Then I'm doing something. Then I go out. Then I'm speaking in tongues. Then I come back. Then I'm speaking in tongues. There's a refreshing that comes with it. So that I don't get polluted by what the world is doing. And you know, some people say, I'm dry. You're dry because you're not listening to these instructions that he's given. There should be no room for dryness. He's created in you a well springing forth water of life. Out of you is gushing forth streams, various different types of streams that refresh. So he now says, quench not. O Thessalonica church, quench not. Christ family church, quench not. Quench not. Say, I refuse to quench. Now look at 1 Thessalonians 5:20. Is another word. Now everything I'm going to be teaching you from next week, you should have these cautions strongly. Are you listening? I won't quench. I would not despise. So the next one we're looking at is despise not. Despise not. Now, all these activities are activities pertaining to the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? So, it's prophesying of the Holy Ghost. Great. So, if we despise prophesyings, can we say we are despising the Holy Ghost? Yes, we are. Because prophecy is of the Holy Ghost. So, when we despise prophecy, we despise the Holy Ghost. So, you know, the word despise, quite an interesting word. Exoutheno. E-X-O-U. Exoutheno. E-X-O-U. EXOUTHENEO. Meaning that you treat a thing with contempt. You look down on. You reject. Exulthenio. You know, there's just ways where you treat somebody as nothing. You know, the Lord calls the Holy Spirit Comforter, right? So, when He gives you comfort, because there are ways He gives you comfort, by His word, by reminding you of what God has said to you, by prophesying. And then you now say, nah, but you see, I still feel some way. That's despising. You look down. You think there's something greater that He should do for you than what He has already done for you in Christ. I don't know how I'm going to be like maybe 10 years. I'm sure it's going to be very bad. But even now, I don't worry. And I don't like to worry. Because I know the moment I begin to worry, I begin to despise the Word of God, which is also inspired of the Holy Ghost. I think things through. I don't worry. When you see me, sometimes I can be sitting down and their calculations going through. But that's not worry. That's thinking things through. But to sit down and say, you know, I'm worried. One time, Kenneth Hagin's wife said to him that she's very sure that if she fell flat dead, let me add her children too as well, Kenneth Hagin was never going to worry. And he said, that is very true. And she, you know, in that documentary, I think she felt very hurt. And you know what he said? He said, God told him not to worry. So why should he worry? Even if his wife just passed and his children worried, God told him not to worry. So he was not going to worry. At least you took the lead ahead of where he eventually will come. So why worry? Why stay up late and worry? So I'm training myself, and you should train yourself not to worry about anything. Right? So, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit becomes that comforter. He reminds you of something that is said, brings a scripture to your heart, you know, causes you to stumble on certain circumstantial happenings throughout the day that communicate His word to you. But you just say, but God doesn't understand. Okay, you have more understanding than God. Or say, Pastor, you don't really understand. Or you say, the word of God doesn't really understand me. So when we do this, now many of you don't know that. That's what I'm teaching you. You literally despise Him. You treat with contempt. But He's saying, despise not. You know, some of you in the flow sessions or in the flow meetings, someone would have told you something. That should be the reason why you should be comforted. But you just have a way of overlooking it and still carrying that burden along with you. When you do that, you despise the Holy Ghost. You quench. You stop His effect in your life. You reduce him to nothing in your eyes. He's nothing to you mentally. He's nothing to you emotionally. He's nothing to you socially. He's just insignificant to everything you're going through. But after these teachings, you will say, I despise not the Holy Ghost. Are you going to despise the Holy Ghost? When he says to you through his word, do not be afraid. And then you still go around being afraid. That's despising his word. And of course, he is the word of God. So, I want you to begin to place some premium on the Holy Ghost. Some premium on the Holy Ghost. Look at Luke chapter 23. Despise not. Luke 23. Despise not. We're going to read from verse 8 to 11. We're going to see a pictorial story, a story of despise not. If you will take these teachings seriously, what it will do in your life, you have no idea. Some of you, your discipleships will begin to grow because you do not despise. You don't despise. You don't despise his instructions. Okay, you want your discipleships to grow. You do. Despise not. Despise not. Despise not. Despise not. Okay, take your seats and look at Luke. Luke. Luke 23. And we're reading from verse 8 to 11. He says, and when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. This is Jesus answering him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him to naught and mocked him. And arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. So you see what happened? They mocked him. They mocked him. They treated him as nothing. They scorned at him. And there's just time where we mock what God is saying. We mock the move of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We despise what he's showing to us. How many of us have seen a vision before? Of course, everybody. But then, you don't take it seriously. Or like, this is the common one, a dream. Like a very serious dream. But then, you don't take it seriously. You wake up, and maybe let's say you are struggling for something. You're struggling about something. Maybe your finances is getting a bit bumpy. And then you wake up from a dream where you saw gold all around you. And you found yourself maybe in a golden house that you cannot even pay for in your natural self. And then you wake up and you say, oh,
a kasika was a vision.
Talk of real money, you are saying that is a vision. And we despise. Or maybe you make up your mind that you are going to sing. But you stand there and your voice is very dangerous to hear. And we like everything, so we are good with everything. And then maybe one day you sleep and you have a dream. Of course, caution here, dreams are supposed to be cautiously interpreted. But there are some dreams that are very clear to you what is being said. Maybe you see yourself standing before one CFI meeting. And you are singing very powerfully. And the Holy Ghost is moving in the place. And you wake up and say, hey, me. Wonders shall never end. Wonders shall never end. Okay, take your seats. Wonders shall never end. So, you find out that the Holy Ghost shows you your future. And you say that it's not true. It's not true. Maybe you see yourself in a vision or, you know, a dream, whether open, closed, and then you see yourself preaching and people are coming in into the church and you see yourself prophesying and you see yourself laying hands on the sick and you saw a particular vision that you saw that even they brought somebody who was dead to you and in the dream you just hit the person came back to life. Now, what you do with that when you wake up is whether you despise him or you neglect him or you believe in it. In that vision. So, you see that you are there. And you wake up and say, hey. Ah, my goodness me. What at all? Even the last person who I prayed for headache. The person, I said, you are here. The person said, no, the headache is still there. And then you despise the Holy Ghost and his visions. That's what he tells you in Joel chapter 2. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. So you have a vision and God tells you something and you wake up to it. Some of you see yourselves in visions or dreams and you're so great in them. But then you wake up and you see yourself as, I'll never do well in life. Look at me. Look at the family I come from. Look at where I am now. But your vision is not saying what you are saying you are. Take your seats. How many of us have had such visions before? I'm telling you the truth. If you do not despise it, if you don't look down on it, if you remind yourself constantly of the things that he showed you in your visions or in your experiences, you're going to see those things exactly. You see yourself prophesying deeply in the dream. It's like you even meet somebody and you know everything about the person. But in real life, it's not sort of like that. He's showing you something. We all have had those visions and dreams. We all. I can't even tell you what I have. We all have those visions and dreams. We all. Everybody. You see yourself as a big something. But when you wake up, you don't even have 20 cities, 25 cities. If you will not despise. In fact, when he shows you such experiences, he reveals to you and he seeks to give you faith and the comfort that is required to reach that future he has called you to see. Take your seats. You are that prophet. You are that prophet. You are that prophet. Yeah, you are that. If you don't despise it. Because you know what? He has shown many people some of these and they never became it because they despised it. That's why you see me hitting my hands on it. I said, this thing, eh? Huh? I will see the end of it. Yeah. It was not a lie. It was not a lie. I'm telling you. You saw yourself laying hands on cripples, walking. You saw yourself in the ministry, preaching. You saw yourself ministering to someone. You saw yourself having a business. You saw yourself doing something. You were praying. It's like you were praying. It came to your mind faintly in the deepest parts of the deepest resets of your spirit. You saw it in there. It was not really clear, but you saw something like that. So it's like something. I saw something. I don't know what I saw in clarity, but I knew that there was something about a man of God and a woman of God, a prophet, a prophetess, you know, the spirit of God on my ministry. I saw something about thousands that I was discipling. Something. I just saw something. I don't know what I saw, but there's something that I saw. Something. I saw something. I don't know what I saw. I don't know what I saw, but I think I saw this. You know, it's faint in your mind. It's faint in your heart. You saw it. You saw it. You saw it. You saw it. If you will not despise it. If you will not despise it. If you will not despise what I'm telling you right now. If you will not despise it. 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 If you will not overlook it. You will not say, oh, it's one of those things because I think about it too much. Think about it too much? Do you know the things you think about that you don't have visions of? Or you don't have experiences or dreams about? Do you know the things that you think about? If you don't see it, that self in that university, that course that needs to be given to you, if you don't despise that vision you saw, I'm telling you, it will be like a movie. With your eyes, you'll be seeing it. You'll be saying, so the thing that I saw is what is happening in my life right now. If you don't despise it, if you don't despise it, if you don't despise, I was telling some people that the difference between myself now and the people I started with is that I never despised the things that people told me that I was becoming. I never despised it. You see me following it like I didn't have sense. I followed it as though I had no reasoning. Other people were trying to be smart about it. You know, let's take it a bit calmer. Let's not, you know, push it, you know, some more. Let's not do this. Let's not. I said, no. I'm going to follow God like a fool. Like a fool. I'm just going to follow him. You said it. I'm not going to despise it. You said, I'm not going to despise it. And I'm not going to call myself lesser of what he calls me, even when I don't see it. You are a rich man, I'm telling you. Forget that thing. Forget that thing. You know, some of you, you have visionary experiences of a reality. But you allow your circumstances and the things that are happening around you tell you and talk you out of it. Don't allow 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 it. Pick a vision that you had seen, just one or two, something that comes to your mind as I minister to you. Hold it in this meeting. Hold it in this meeting. Pick something that you have seen. Hold it. Hold it in this meeting. 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 Yes, just hold it in this meeting. Don't despise it. Don't overlook it. Don't say it was a lie. You have it. I'm telling you, you have it. You have it. You have it. You have exactly what he showed you. You have exactly what he showed you. You have exactly what he showed you. Because you will not despise visions, prophesying. Yes. If you've not had a vision, pick out something, a prophetic utterance someone saw, told you. That's it. 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 When Joseph said, I saw the stars, the moon, bowing to me, it took 17 years to see that vision come to pass. And truly, just as the Lord spoke, he saw his brothers bowing down to him, and he saw the vision happening before his eyes. 17 years. Christ's family is happening. I said it's happening. This city is ours. This nation is ours. This country is ours. This continent is ours. I said it's happening. It is happening. It's happening. Take that vision. Take that vision. Take that vision. Myself, I saw a vision. I saw a vision. Maybe it might not be a vision. It's something you heard in your sleep or in your awake. Something you heard. Something. You just heard something. You heard something. You heard something. There's something that came to you. It's happened. It's happening. A few weeks ago, before I moved into another depth of the prophetic ministry, I was asleep and I heard prophet of God. Prophet of God twice. When I woke up, I said prophet of God. That's what I said. I said prophet of God. I said prophet of God. I said that's all I said. Because I heard it. Because I saw it. Something is true. Go ahead and speak in tongues. I want you to, not somebody, just pick it. Pick what? Anything. You saw yourself in a beautiful family. You saw yourself at home. You saw yourself, you know, in a certain place. You saw yourself in a certain space. You saw yourself doing something. You just saw something. Someone told you something. Someone ministered something to you. Despise not. Visions, despise not. The Holy Ghost, despise not. Revelations, despise not. Experiences, despise not. Encounters, despise not. Despise them not. Neglect them not. Despise them not. Despise them not. Jeprakatotapalabashatalaba. Jepreteperedeba. Mantoro popopokoporadabo shapratekepa. Shapratakapalaba. That vision, I'm becoming it. 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 I'm holding on to it. I despise not. 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 Jabrakatalaba jataba. That discipleship, I'm seeing it expand. I despise not that pastoral call, prophetic call, apostolic call, pastoral call, evangelistic call. I despise it not. 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 I despise it. I don't look down on 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 myself. I don't look down on my ministry. I don't look down on my music ministry. I don't look down on my teaching ministry. I don't look down on my prophetic ministry. I don't look down on my healing ministry. I not despise it. I'll not despise it. I won't look down on 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 it. What God has said I can do, I will do. I won't look down on it. That vision I had when I was 14 years, 13 years, somebody came to my house and told my mother while I was being born. I don't know whose story is that. It may be yours. It's not mine, I'm telling you. It's yours. Someone told your mother, that person is going to be a man of God. That person is going to be a woman of God. I despise it not. I despise it not. I despise it not. I despise it not. There's a call of God on your son's life. There's a call of God on your daughter's life. Your daughter is going to serve the Lord. Your daughter is going to be a woman of God. Your daughter is going to become very rich. Your daughter is going to become very influential. There's a call of God. Despise it not. Christ's family, despise not the move of the Holy Ghost. Despise it not. 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 If you will not despise it, the nations as we're speaking to you, you will see them.
despise it not. Don't look down on it. Don't look down on it.
Jeffrey Ketepa Mantosa Pratekepoe Prasata Palagadaba Mantakapa Jetekepa Mantora Katalaba.
Despise not prophesying. As you stand before people, don't say, what I have is very small. What I have is very less. No. This is what I have. I'm speaking to you. This is what the Lord is showing me. This is what I want you to see. Despise it not. 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 Don't despise it. If you despise it, you won't see it. Don't despise it. Don't despise it. Don't look down on it. It's not small. 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 Your future is bright. Your future is bright. It's not small. It's not small. It's not small. Some of us have seen visions, dreams, experiences where we do not look like what has been shown to us, but we say we despise it not. We despise not. We despise it 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 not.
Je prekete poto poto koporoto fose. Prata kapala ashanta prakata. Manto rakapala ba. Je prete pete pete perede ba. Manta tabarakata balagada. Manto rakapala ba jata pa. Manta rakatala ba.
We despise it not. 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 Yes. 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 It is happening. It is happening. It is happening. It is happening. 5 years from now. 10 years from now, 15 years from now, it is happening, and we all receive. It is happening. 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 We're not despising it. What God has spoken is happening. It 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 is happening.
Shaprakata palaba.
Some of you just need to wait for it. That's all you need to do. It's just wait. Wait for it. It may take 5 years. It may take 10 years. It may take 15 years. It may take 20 years. Don't worry. Just wait for it. It is happening.
Kalaba shata pradaba. Oh, it is happening. Shala prata kapara la ba shata prata kapara la ba la ba.
It is happening.
Kala ba shata prata kapara la ba. Mata la ba ba. Makoto poro la ba. Shepete kapara la ba shata kapara la ba ba. Mato ro ba 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 ba. Rakata ba la ba. It is happening.
Some of you are living realities already.
Oh, and we all receive. And we all
receive.
For the move,
yes,
of the Spirit in this place,
yes,
atmospheres of His power. Overwhelms us in this place.
It is
happening. Happening.
Oh, we give you room. Yes.
Give room.
Yes.
For the
the Spirit. Yes. It is happening.
It is happening.
Take your diaries, your book and your pen. Oh.